The Bench. The Bench. On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell. And here we go. A bad night for our Rockets last night, as once again they get outscored, and by plenty, in the fourth quarter of a tight game, and they couldn't close in the fourth quarter. And that was the story yesterday, as LeBron and Anthony Davis score 62. Kyle Kuzma and Rajon Rondo, huge part as well. The Rockets just got, I mean, Russ played well.
It's their first loss at home in the playoffs.
Yeah, first home loss.
Yep.
Yeah, they were 4. They were they were 4-0 in the postseason at home, and unfortunately, they weren't able to close it out again yesterday. You know, fourth quarter you got to play, and they just last two games they just haven't played in the fourth quarter. They had a 2-point lead in game two, and they were and actually. We're right there in game three, and unfortunately couldn't close. And that's a pivotal game. They're just not good enough. They're going to make this a series because they match up pretty well against the Lakers. They fought them pretty tough, but they're just not good enough. This team is just not good enough. That's all.
It was just a bad beginning of the fourth, and they, you know, they gave up a run to the Lakers, and then that was it. It was a boat race after that, and they couldn't do anything. I mean, you go into it tied up, and then, you know, the problem is you have to be able to keep it within striking distance in the fourth, because you can't have one of your swings where, you know, it's great to have those plus 17 and plus 20 swings, but you can't have a minus swing like they had and overcome that in the fourth. It's just not possible. Not in a playoff series.
And without Daniel House, and there's a lot of speculation about why Daniel House didn't play, but without him, basically it was a six-man rotation. Basically, it was six-man. McLemore got 10 minutes. Austin Rivers got 11 minutes. Otherwise, it was six guys, and Jeff Green is a big part of that. Jeff Green played well. Eric Gordon really basically wasn't really there. 2 for 9, 10 points on the game. Covington with a 4 for 7. P.J. Tucker just took 3 shots all night. Mm-hmm. I mean, they basically took away that corner three.
Yeah, which is smart.
Yeah.
That's if you take away what he does, that's the only thing he does offensively.
Yeah, that's it.
You take that away, then he's a nothing offensively. And that's one of the first teams I've seen who has actively really made a point to take one of your wing shooters out of it. And that's what they were able to do. You know, Russ hit a couple threes in the first half and thought, uh-oh, Russ is going to, you know, go bananas here.
He didn't?
And he really didn't. He was disciplined beyond that, because he had a couple open looks. One actually was a corner three from James where they doubled off of him and dared him to shoot, and he did, and he made it. But they played really well in the first half. I mean, they played good basketball in the third quarter. Defensively, the Rockets had better energy defensively than what they had, you know, in their previous iteration. Their bubble iteration of defense was there again. It's just that Anthony Davis is right now, it's just a matter of their best two are more consistent than your best two. And it's whoever's supporting cast. You know, I guess you can really look at it. The fact has been the supporting cast have been the difference.
Yeah. Kyle Kuzma coming off the bench for them. Rajon Rondo has been good last 2 games.
Rondo was huge. Morris in game two was huge.
Caruso had a couple of big baskets.
Yeah, so this is what it's going to be. I mean, I don't think your supporting cast, the Rockets supporting cast can be better than the opponents. We've seen it before. But really, James is and Russ are going to have to elevate their games. They're just going to have to, because Anthony Davis has figured out, number one, he's a great shooter. He's a great shooter from mid-range, distance, the turnaround. There is no defense. He knows he can turn around and nobody's in his face. There's nobody who can actually challenge his turnaround jumper.
Nope.
It's just like something in practice where you have, you know, that one guy who looks like Rick Fox for the Lakers on the bench, that bench coach who's bracing people up, who's got the gray Rick Fox beard. It's like that guy's on him, because he knows when he turns, it's just going to be a wide open shot and not a problem.
Yep.
And he's, even though I think he should be pounding it closer to the basket, he's perfectly comfortable shooting a fadeaway 12-footer.
Yeah.
Not a problem for him.
No, no, no. That's his post-up. You know, we've talked about it. Oh, well, nobody's got any post-up anymore. Well, that's basically his post-up. He gets it on the wing about 12 feet from the basket.
Yeah, that's where his post-game
that's
is.
It. Yeah. That's it. And he just turns around and shoots. And that's so easy. It's so easy for him while the Rockets are playing. Now, look at it. If you said Rockets shoot 47% from the field, 40% from three, 100% from the line, and they score 102 points.
Yeah.
They just didn't get their volume
beaten
shots
on the
up.
Board by 13, which is, you know, not what you want to see.
No, but that's what they're going to do. They're never going to win a rebound battle. I mean, ever.
That's a 23-9 assist to...
That ain't bad.
Assist to turnovers. Good for them.
Yeah, it's not bad at all.
It's good for them, but they gave up the second, you know, the second shots. Offensive rebounds for the Lakers were 9-6 compared to the Rockets, but when it's all said and done, I mean... The Houston Rockets right now just aren't getting to the free throw line. Nope. James is not getting to the line like he used. James can make a living. 13 free throws, 18 free throws, 15. He had 7 yesterday. He made all of them. Yep. The Rockets made all their free throws. He made every free throw, but he's not getting to the free throw line in the playoffs like we're used to him seeing. That's just not happening.
They're just not the Lakers. This team is in a different class. It's a good basketball team. They're just in a different class right now. You know, this is going to come down to exactly what it's supposed to. It's going to be the Clippers and it's going to be the Lakers, and that's going to be a good series. Miami closed it out yesterday. Miami looks like a good basketball team now.
Yeah, valiant effort by the Bucks, man. The Bucks are a tough-minded team. That was as close as you can keep it, I think, without Giannis. You'd done it. Giannis had 19 points in the first 11 minutes in game. Four before he was injured. And then Chris Middleton really stepped up, and they got baskets at different spots at different times in game four. In game five, they played hard. Bledsoe had some big buckets. You had DiVincenzo had a big three. But they just couldn't, like, Miami just continued to keep that thing between 3 and 7 points. It was just nonstop. They were able to keep it right where it needed to be and keep it comfortable. And I tell you what, So the Celtics blew out the Raptors in game five. They're up 3-2. That Celtics and Heat, I don't know who the favorite is. I know the odds maker is going to make Celtics the favorite. But shoot, man, the Heat look like a worthy opponent right
good.
Now.
Dale, you think you beat the Celtics? What did they do against the Celtics in a regular season?
They 2-1. The Heat won the most recent one in the bubble. I mean, if you're a Heat fan, you say both games against the Celtics that they lost came off back-to-backs for the Heat where the Celtics had the day off. So if you want to play the game, well, we'll see. We'll see how that works. The Celtics are scary because of their wing play. Now, we'll see when Gordon Hayward comes back. But the Heat, they have the ability to lock you down with Crowder and Butler and Bam. But the Celtics are kind of a different beast with Tatum and Brown and when Hayward gets back because they can get their own shot almost at any point. If I'm a Heat fan, which I am, I'd rather see Toronto. I think they're an easier team to defend. Mm-hmm. You can't account for what Tatum could do on a night-to-night basis or Brown. But I think the way they're playing, the defense they're playing, and their closing lineup of defense means I don't think the Heat, and you could see it in their personality, they're not fearful of anyone, which is the first thing. And I think they don't have a coaching disadvantage, which helps as well. I don't care if Brad Stevens is on the other side or Nick Nurse. Eric Spoelstra didn't get a lot of credit because of LeBron and the big three, but he's a Hall of Famer.
I like the Heat. You know, the Heat's offense, I know they're not a high-flying team. They shoot threes well. They're kind of disciplined. I mean, they've got a disciplined offensive approach and a motion game where they can get their shots late in the clock. But that team has taken on – so to bring it back to the Rockets, that team has taken on the personality of Jimmy Butler. Like, the Heat reflect Jimmy Butler's values, without question. I don't know if you say that about the Rockets and James necessarily or the Rockets and Russ. I think they're a collection of players who play hard. I certainly don't think this series is over between the Rockets and Lakers. I think we've seen it's actually been if you go quarter by quarter by quarter, the Houston Rockets, right now they're losing the Electoral College, but I think they're winning popular vote if you look at them from a quarter-to-quarter standpoint. It's just the popular vote doesn't matter. It's you got to win that Electoral College, and right now, because the Rockets were in the last game against the Lakers. The Rockets actually played well in two of four. They played well yesterday in the first three quarters, you could say those were Rockets quarters. I mean, they're tied, but based on the expectations, Rockets were right there all three quarters.
Yeah, but we know where the votes are coming in what precincts, and we know that late votes that they're going to lose.
That's a problem, but when you look at them just quarter by quarter, the Rockets have equaled the Lakers easily. Without a question.
If you look at the fourth quarter precincts report, guess what happens?
Yeah.
In the last two games.
That's right. That's the problem. That's why they're losing the electoral, but they're winning a popular vote. Well, a popular vote doesn't matter. You got to win the big. You either have to win big in certain quarters or win at the right time, and that's not what they do.
We know, you know, the Democratic precincts don't report until late, Lance. And that's where the Lakers are. The Democrats are coming in late on the Lakers, okay? And we know that. We know that already.
Or it's the other way. Or they're the Trump voters.
Oh.
The Laker fans would not want to be called Trump.
I don't think they do.
But, no, it just occurred to me last night while I was up at 2:30, not able to get to sleep like usual, that, you know what, this is a lot like the Rockets are playing. If you take it quarter by quarter, the Rockets are definitely a match for the Lakers. Outplayed them in the first half. There's two quarters. You look at they dominated them in the third quarter of game two. They were excellent in most quarters of the first game against the Lakers. I mean, the Rockets are playing. They played good basketball in the third quarter. Well, they didn't play good basketball, but they played good defense in the third quarter. They got out. It's one quarter can lose it for you if you're the Rockets.
Yeah.
It's just that's what it is.
Well, it's nut cutting time in the fourth quarter, and the Rockets just don't have the nuts. They just don't. This is playoff basketball. You've got to win. They've gotten their ass handed to them in the last two fourth quarters when they were in the game, tied and leading by two in the last two games, and they just got their asses handed to them. And you can't do that. That's when you got to play your best, like the Astros did late last night with Yuli Gurriel coming up with the clutch sacrifice fly and Presley coming up with the big save.
No.
They're not clutch like the Astros.
No.
Okay? How about a big win for our team? Anybody talk about that? No. Oh, yeah? So we got a split by the Astros yesterday and a loss by the Rockets. It's a win for the city. Not really? It's 712 ESPN, 97.5 and ESPN.
Doubleheader. We saw the end of game two, which ended 4-2 at our fantasy football auction.
Yeah.
Where John was a quarterback hog. I mean, yeah.
I was. I drafted four quarterbacks. Little did I know you can't. You only got so many players. But I don't know why I thought that was acceptable.
I do the Coors Light commercial now.
It's not the Coors Light commercial. Oh. You got Blackland Distillery.
Oh, is he? Yeah.
Is that the reason you were so vulgar about guys named Ralph? You had a lot of Coors Lights in you?
Yeah.
There was some bottles.
I assume that was an issue. I didn't want to.
We had two issues with owners not knowing the rules, and both of them had a boatload of Coors Light bottles in front of them.
Yes, we did.
I don't know if that's connected. I know that maybe, I thought I was rolling into.
Well, I do know that my hair looked great. That's all I know. You know why my hair looked great? Because of Doc Linville. And your hair will look great, too. All you got to do is go to 975hair.com, and guess what? Your hair can look great, too. What you got to do, my friends, is, and it's so simple. The process is so wonderful. You will have long, flowing hair like Fred or me. And I'm going to tell you what. You're going to love it. And she is going to love it. If you're follically challenged like I was, I'm telling you, it is the easiest and most wonderful process ever. It comes in, it takes about, I don't know, 7-8 months for it to totally all come in. But you're going to be like, holy cow, this is unbelievable, the difference there is. It is huge and will make a huge difference in your life. If you are follically challenged, go right now, 975hair.com, 975hair.com.
Well, hello. To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
So Blackland Distillery is the official podcast host, or rather our podcast partner that Eric Layden and I do. And we give our guests Blackland Distillery, a spirit of their choice. And Michael Kelly from from House of Cards, you know, Doug Stamper, loved the bourbon. He asked for the bourbon and raved about it after he got it and was trying it, and he's already finished with his. Hassie Harrison from Yellowstone, she just got the vodka. You can find, I'm telling you right now, the vodka, the gin, the bourbon, the rye, I don't care what it is that you're looking for from a spirit standpoint. It is expertly crafted, and it's uniquely individual in the way that it's been processed. It's grain to glass. They are actually a true grain to glass distillery. They don't have to use anyone else's base alcohol. They make their own, and it's made right here in Texas. So this is a Texas distillery, and it is an award winner, not just the location itself where people go in to have craft cocktails, but also the actual bourbon just won an award this year, and or rather the vodka, and the bourbon is set to win one as well. If you go to any spirit director who has had it, they will tell you this is a complex bourbon that feels like it's been around for decades and decades, and yet it's been less than 2 years. It's an amazing feat and a testament to the processes that Marcus uses with his distillery. Make sure that you check out Black Land Distillery. If it's not in your local liquor store, demand that they start carrying that. You're going to start see it popping up here a lot more in Houston. Make sure you ask your local restaurants as well to carry Black Land Distillery, and you can experience the unique quality for yourself. BlacklandDistillery.com.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
If for some reason you weren't listening to the station yesterday, you now have a new option to hear us. 92.5. If you're on the west side, you've had issues with 97.5 for whatever reason driving around, you can now tune into 92.5. Same station, same shows. You just hear it on a different frequency. So we're offering you another opportunity to hear us. 92.5, 97.5, and obviously we also provide that. But you're in your car. 92.5 is another option for you. Now back to John and Lance.
Yep. 97.5, 92.5. Let's go, baby. Big and a great response.
Pick which signal sounds the best for you.
Yeah, that's all.
Plug it in.
That's all. Yeah, so it is, that's big news. We unveiled it yesterday, and here we are today. Those of you, just keep it on 92.5. I mean, you can throughout the whole city, you can hear it. Those of you on the east side, obviously 97.5 is going to be better. Those of you from here to Louisiana, 97.5 is probably going to be better, but those of you on the west side said you couldn't hear us, you can now. So the Astros have got two more. They're 1-2 now. They're 22-21 overall.
You know, they're not a lock to make playoffs.
No,
they're in the driver's seat.
Yeah, but the Mariners are sneaking up.
Yeah,
yeah.
But with all these injuries, with all these pitchers on the shelf, it's possible that they would miss the playoffs, even in this expanded playoffs. They are. I would make them a -300 favorite to make the playoffs right now. I mean, they're in pretty decent shape. It would take a losing streak. But, you know, I think it's possible that they could miss a playoffs. But the Yankees are not in position right now. The Yankees are in trouble right now.
Oh, yeah. No, the Yankees are in third place. Actually, they're three games behind Toronto. They're 21-21. Minnesota is in third place in the Central. They're 27-18. Actually, at this very point in time,
Yankees are out, aren't they?
The Yankees are still in because the Astros are the second place team. Seattle is 19-23, so they're behind the Yankees. But the Orioles are 20-21, just a half a game behind the Yankees. It's going to be the top two teams in each division, and then 7-8. And right now, Minnesota is 7, and the Yankees are 8, but only by a half a game.
Yeah. There's a shot the Yankees could miss out. There's a shot the Astros. I mean, depending on how it goes, the Yankees and Astros could miss out.
Astros have a 2.5 game lead over Seattle.
And there's
the Rays. They've destroyed Seattle all year, so they got the tiebreaker in case of a tie. But that's what they do. They destroy the Mariners, and then they lose to everybody else. 22-21 now. That was a big win last night as the Astros get the win. They're not doing anything in the postseason. It doesn't matter. I mean, I hate to be existential, but quite frankly, they're not doing anything in the postseason. They're much like this Rockets team. Much like this Rockets team. They're about right there, right now, in the middle of the pack. They are better. They were the Rockets were thought to be one of the, what, the fourth favorite, fifth favorite coming into the postseason. But then when you get on the court and you gotta, you actually have to play the games with a bunch of little people, with a little bunch of little fellas, then you're not going to win. And they got, you know, through the first round with against Oklahoma City, but everybody knew once you either get to the Clippers or the Lakers, guess what's going to happen? Mm-hmm. This is going to happen. The fourth quarters are going to happen. You know, hopefully they turn it around and are able to win a couple of games here. I predicted six and possibly seven long series. Didn't look like it last night. They just don't have enough. There's just not enough firepower. And Daniel Huss not being there for personal reasons is a problem. And Mike D'Antoni, who promised I'm going deep on my bench, outside of the top six.
Who do you want him to go to?
They had 21 minutes. Well, Ben McLemore's been a part of this all year long, and he just
right.
He got Daniel housed.
I think they're worried. But Daniel House defends better than Ben McLemore.
Daniel
House is a better. I think Daniel House actually has turned into. Now, I don't know. Ben McLemore is a pretty good shooter. Daniel House can be a pretty good shooter. That's his specialty. I mean, Daniel House is. I feel like he's longer and more athletic as a defender. I really think, ironically, his ability to defend a little better than McLemore is one of the reasons that he's, you know, is that he's getting minutes this year when that was supposedly the reason he couldn't get minutes last year against the Golden State Warriors. So
yeah.
I think it's one of the reasons he's getting minutes this year is he defends better than McLemore, who has been siphoned into the bench.
Well, and then Austin, there was only one guy on the Rockets that was a plus yesterday, and that was Austin Rivers. Because he's been playing great basketball. Or it's been Austin Rivers.
He's been terrible.
He really has been terrible. But he was 0 for 2. Come on, come sit over here in 11 minutes. Come sit over here next to me here.
Did you hear they had their sideline guy, Jared Greenberg, on during the game? And they were asking him about D'Antoni's job status. And apparently he made it sound like it's D'Antoni's decision whether he comes back or not. Because I guess... Daryl Morey was talked to USA Today and said the plan is to bring Mike D'Antoni back, and then Mike D'Antoni said to that knowledge, that's good that Daryl feels that way, but I still got decisions to make. So according to that report, it was up to Mike D'Antoni whether he comes back or not, not the other way around.
Huh? That's awesome, because Mike D'Antoni keeps winning and winning and winning. you just keep on winning. That's all he does. Wins regular season games. That's awesome.
A lot of them, actually.
A lot of regular season games. No. Like, second most? Where is he?
Do you guys feel, how much of this do you think is on D'Antoni?
I don't think the roster.
I'm talking about like a game. Like yesterday.
Oh, this particular game?
Yeah.
Well, when one of his key bench players misses time for some mysterious reason that we probably won't hear publicly about.
Probably Corona.
No, they said.
Nope, it's not Corona.
Probably hurt his, maybe dislocated his shoulder.
No.
Nope.
Personal reasons was shoulder the herpes? Reason given. Well, you have that. Did you go to Orlando and give it to Daniel House?
Might have.
No.
Why would you do that?
No.
One of my late night hallucinations.
Personal reasons is what we were given.
Personal reasons. He had something personal.
Probably
wrong.
Family member ill.
He had something personal going on.
So I don't know if last night was particularly his fault.
Thoughts and prayers.
No, is it? No, but the overall style of play, the overall thought of, you know, little people ball.
Who rubber stamped that style?
That's Daryl.
Yeah, and you know what? It produces wins because his guy is the best at running it, and his guy has been extraordinarily successful. They always went over 50. I mean, look, this is the hard part. They win with that. James is efficient with that. That is one of the best offenses in
terms
of... They
win what with that?
Well, they win a bunch of games.
Yeah, yeah.
But the problem is, once you get to the postseason, the recipe is a little bit different. You got to have something that stands out, and they don't have anything that stands out. Daryl's trying to make... Daryl's trying to really... He's trying to make a cake without the recipes, so he's using his vegan stuff, and he's got, well, maybe if we use this ghee... Maybe if we use this flourless, you know, maybe if we make a flourless cake. Daryl, you don't have flour. What if we make a flourless cake with no big men? I got news for you. the cake is just not going to be good enough to win any contests. You're not going to win any baking shows on the English baking shows or whatever it is that my daughter watches when you've got this flat, flourless cake. You're not. Daryl can do whatever he wants. He can try. Here's your ingredients. And everyone else has got a full thing of ingredients. And Daryl's kind of got chopped a little bit, like a chop basket, just a little bit. Like, hey, what's this Austin Rivers Black Twizzlers doing in here? Or what's this Austin Rivers, you know, orange? What are these tangerines doing in my thing for this dessert? This doesn't really taste great. Well, and then the argument is, well, that's Daryl putting that together. But I think it all stems from, and this is on Daryl, but I get it. You pushed all in on James, so now you got to play a style that fits James, and you got to give your team the best chance to win with a roster around James. And I think some of it probably is James has to give you a thumbs up.
While I appreciate your food analogy.
Yeah. Do you?
No, not really. He's trying to win with a bunch of Scott Hattiebergs and Jeremy Giambis. This is the money ball from the A's. You know how good the A's were in those regular
seasons? That actually is a good point.
This is what he's doing. Hey, old David Justice. There's Jeff Green.
Yeah.
He's trying to win money. Yeah,
What is a Damari Carroll? How does that translate?
Probably Eric Burns or something.
Okay.
Yeah, but they've got. Well, then who is
a Thabo Sefolosha?
Ask me who are their stars?
Who are Russell Westbrook and
Tim Hudson
James?
And Barry Zito and Mark Mulder? You know, there's that pitching rotation.
Yeah,
with Miguel Tejada.
Maybe so. That's the problem. Is you can't. That's why I'm going to tell you I am in favor of potentially shopping James because I think that can reset. You can reset things. We can't talk about. Well, we can't do it both ways. Well, come on. Come on, Daryl. This isn't good enough. And then, like, come on, Daryl. Hang on to the guy that necessitates that you play this brand of basketball. James is never going to play motion basketball. I don't know. Who thinks that's going to work? That's not going to work. He'll get Daryl out of there if Daryl tries to make that
move. No, but you had to go to little people basketball because of Russ. But guess what? You can't get rid of Russ. There's nobody taking that contract.
John, they've been playing little people basketball forever. They just had Clint Capella. Let's face it. Their Rockets have always been undersized.
Well, they did have Dwight before that.
But your four was PJ.
They had Dwight before that.
That was 4 years ago.
Well, so I mean,
You have one big, but you've always been playing with either a finesse stretch four.
Well, they decided to do that, though, Lance.
A finesse stretch four in Ryan Anderson. But this is the new trend, though. They talked about it on the broadcast. This is all of a sudden what you're starting to see teams do is say, wait a minute. If we're going to have a lead guy who is a creator, why don't we just fill them up with shooters around them and maybe have one big? I mean, it's not unlike the Golden State Warriors have done it.
The two teams with the best record had Dwight and McGee, and they had Brook Lopez.
Now that's just,
and they had Giannis. Those are big guys.
Well, Dwight is unplayable, and so it's
he's unplayable, but he played all year.
It's LeBron and AD. You're mentioning
in the last
guys
series,
who aren't
he played
even,
pretty damn well.
But
well,
you're mentioning a guy that's not even a factor.
And Brook Lopez and Giannis.
Well, he was in the last series.
He's a backup.
And Brook Lopez and Giannis are now out of the playoffs because
the best record.
The Heat's who cares about? We just talked about the regular season doesn't matter for us. Certainly, so why would it matter for them?
All right, but it's not like Miami doesn't have any big guys.
They have one big guy who plays, and he's 6'9". So he's not, and he's like a new age big guy where he dribbles. He's like a smaller, skinnier version. But Jokic. They let him orchestrate the offense.
Look what the Heat does. The Heat shoots threes at a high clip. The Heat defends, and the Heat have guys who can get their own shot. Like Tyler Hero actually has gotten shots off the dribble. He was big again yesterday.
All right, well then that goes back to one again. You pick up a Duncan Robinson. You pick up a Tyler Hero. You pick up guys that can actually shoot when you want to shoot threes. This again, it gets back to Daryl. When you're going to shoot volume Duncan threes, how about making threes as opposed to just throwing them up? I mean, this is a poor 3-point shooting team, average at best.
And
this is what you do. How about getting good shooters?
And yesterday, the math was not in their favor. A game they always like to play. Not only did the Lakers make 10, the Rockets only got up 30. The Rockets made 12. They shot a good percentage, but only shot 30, which is not the math they like to play.
That's a low shot number for them. 30.
So Duncan Robinson was not even drafted.
No, he was undrafted. They just found him.
But Tyler Hero was a draft pick.
Mid-round. I mean, guys, you know, so does Bam. Both 13
I just think,
and 14.
I think what you
How about going to find a Duncan Robinson that's a 3-point shooter?
There's a glass ceiling.
He doesn't
find
any 3-point shooters yet. You want to shoot threes. That's all you do.
Well, he tried that with the guy that they wanted forever, and Ryan Anderson, and that didn't work out.
So you stop?
This is going to be...
I mean, honestly,
it also hurts that your best player doesn't really defend. James is defending better. I'm not saying he's not, but he's not a plus defender. He's a typically a minus defender, especially out on the perimeter. Jimmy Butler's not. It makes it a lot easier when your top player is actually a two-way player, because Dell made a point that I hadn't really thought about. If you have scorers like Russ and James who are not known as defenders, you can't just have a whole team of non-defenders. Like, you can't. You already have no rim protection. And this is a move. They keep making moves that are analytical in nature to bring out the best in Russ. Okay, let's eliminate Russ's threes and get him to the basket. Okay. And it produced wins, and they've played good, but there's a glass ceiling. There appears to just be a glass ceiling that I don't think as long as they have James, and it's definitely not all on James, but the style, just everything revolves around 13. Everything from the guy who's the number two, the Robin to his Batman. We've talked about this before. It's just, that's not a great compliment to James Harden. You'd much rather have a good shooter. I mean, Chris Paul was the perfect compliment to James. They couldn't get along, and Chris Paul had a contract that wasn't what you wanted to pay at that time, and he had a soft tissue injury.
Right. No, they could have won it then. 732 ESPN 97.5. Time to talk about Jeff Aronoff and Absolute Marble and Granite. And by the way, get in here. Anthony, you're going to be up next. Anybody else wants to get in, 713-780-3776. But Jeff Aronoff over at Absolute Marble and Granite wants you to give him a call, 713-880-2822. Do you have some big job that you need done? Are you looking to redo that kitchen? Are you looking to redo that outside? Are you redo that fireplace? You want to redo that bathroom with new vanity, new tub, new shower, whatever it is? Or are you building and you need these things? Go check out the countertop that he put in at the new Damaris Barbecue over on 610. And you, my friends, will see the workmanship that Jeff Aronoff did over there, and you can have that kind of workmanship at your house or at your business. If you're looking to remodel your business as well, you've got a big job that now you had COVID-19, you had all this time, and maybe you want to get back, you want to try to make your business better. This is a wonderful time to get it done with Jeff Aronoff over at Absolute Marble and Granite. Kids are headed back to school, and now is a good time while they're in school to get that workmanship done at your house. Give them a call, 713-880-2822. It's Absolute Marble and Granite.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7. That's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. 92.5. Turn it on. If you are having troubles with... It's a little bit staticky. Maybe you're on the west side, you're trying to listen, or you're on the app and you want to check it out terrestrially. There you go. You got it. 92.5 now on the west side. Anthony is here. Wants to talk about Billy Donovan. What do you say, Anthony?
Hey, good morning, guys. I just wanted to ask a question. It seems pretty coincidental that Donovan decided to part ways mutually with the Thunder yesterday, and all this talk about D'Antoni possibly being replaced, and with Donovan being such a player's coach, I was just curious what you guys thought about that being a potential replacement for the Rockets. I'll hang up and listen.
Billy Donovan's a good coach. He's a really good coach. Whether or not, I mean, can he coexist? Can he play little people ball? I don't know.
Well, the report was apparently that there was, well, OKC has some decisions to make about what they want to do going forward, because Danilo is a free agent. And I think there's another player on their roster who's a free agent. That's important. So there may be going full in on the rebuild, and Donovan probably doesn't want any part of that. And we hear about the Chris Paul trade stuff coming out too now. So I think some of that is direction.
This is an accidental playoff run.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
They would have traded Paul if they could have, if things went poorly early, but they went better than they thought they would. So I think the Shai Gilgeous thing is who they want to build around, and plus all the draft picks. From all the reports, it was like, hey, we're not sure which direction we want to go in. So maybe, Billy, you should try to find a spot.
I'll tell you who I think you got a chance to build around in the future. It's going to sound crazy, but I think Dort is a player who he still is relatively unskilled, but he's a player with a lot of growth potential, a lot of growth potential as a hooper. And I think shots can be made. You can make a guy into a shooter. We saw it with Jason Kidd, who was an atrocious shooter coming out of college, who ended up becoming one of the better shooters in the league in three-point. When you look at his numbers, like, holy crap, how'd that happen with Jason Kidd? You can absolutely become a three-point shooter if you get the right schooling. And I think Dort, see, I don't know about Gilchrist Alexander. I don't have that same vibe that that's the kind of guy you build around. But who cares? We're talking about Billy Donovan here. I think the Rockets would consider Billy Donovan. I think they'd be willing to consider him. Maybe a little bit too much structure. I think if you get rid of Mike D'Antoni, you're going to want somebody who believes in what the Rockets believe in, which is that you've got that three is greater than two. Anything that they do, remember that Daryl and really now many GMs, this is not just Daryl, I would say a majority of the NBA GMs, when you look at the way the game has gone, they believe three is greater than two. And that's the philosophy, and they want threes taken. Sometimes you get some old school stuff.
Not made, taken. That's what they want.
Well, they assume taken will turn into made.
Really? Don't assume that. Not if you don't get good three-point shooters.
Shot 40% yesterday.
Yeah, and they only put up 30, though. That's not their philosophy.
So you wanted to shoot more.
You have to shoot more.
But that wasn't your problem with the game yesterday.
They scored 102 points. That's not their style of basketball. They need 50 threes.
Well, the Lakers were also doing a pretty good job of getting the ball out of James's hands when they wanted to and making the Rockets and lengthening the shot clock, too, which is a big – or not lengthening, but shortening the shot clock.
Well, I thought the superstar Russ was there so that when they do, when James is taken out, you've got another superstar on the floor.
In the first half, it was working good.
It was working great to a tie.
But how do you also defend LeBron James? You don't have a LeBron James defense. Nobody does.
No, but
LeBron, and you don't have an Anthony Davis.
LeBron loses six times. LeBron loses two. But you know what? Somebody does.
Who's the best 1-2 in basketball?
Finals, he doesn't.
Huh?
Not a team he meets in a semis, he doesn't.
No,
and that's he the, never loses. The Rockets aren't.
Well, the Rockets are a middling team.
Who's got the best 1-2?
That's what they are.
Who's got the best 1-2 in the playoffs? It's probably the Lakers.
Yeah, Kawhi and
I don't know about playoff P, but yeah. So I think it's probably the Lakers.
Probably the Lakers.
And if that's the case, they're going to beat their best two, unless you have something that can either mitigate what their best two does against you, which you can't, not defensively. You don't have the guys to do that. Or unless you can, because Houston was better than Oklahoma City, but they had a guy who could mitigate one of your best player. And Lu Dort actually did a nice job defensively against James. The Rockets don't have that defensively. So now it turns into a battle of, okay, well our best two need to play in the vicinity of your best two, and then we have to have our secondary players step up. And the Rockets' secondary players, they can step up from time to time. I mean, we've seen it happen in the playoffs. But that's not – I don't think Jeff Green, Robert Covington, Daniel House, and Austin Rivers, Ben McLemore. I just PJ Tucker. I don't know if they're a winning combination of players. I think they can be, but definitely not at the highest level.
We can get into some of the intricacies of it, but I think my bottom line is Rajon Rondo can't outplay Eric Gordon. If you're going to win a series against Lakers, where James and Russ aren't awful, they're okay. Even though Russ was a minus in his minutes, you can't have Rajon Rondo playing better than Eric Gordon.
Well, when Rajon was terrible, the Rockets won. Yeah. And the last two games, Rajon has been good, and the Rockets have lost.
Yeah. What is Eric Gordon? Well, he was okay.
Eric Gordon was good the first two games.
Well, okay. That's a not problem though.
But he can't have this. He can't have a 2-for-9.
Yeah. Eric Gordon has not.
He can't
been
be that guy. You can't. We've talked about it consistently. The money he's being paid, all those things. He is paid like a third best player. He cannot play like he played last night if you want to win.
No. He had three straight good games, but that's the best games he's played all season.
Third best players have to be consistent factors. Like, you should know what you're getting from Eric Gordon every game with smaller fluctuations. His fluctuations have just been too great this year.
Really not. Tom downtown wants to talk about his Rockets. What say, Tom?
Oh, not much. Thanks for working me in. Basically, my opinion, what we're seeing here is we're seeing the run-shoot Oilers all over again. We've locked into this dynamic offensive system that wins us a lot of games, but isn't capable of winning us the big game. Now, I understand that three is bigger than two, but what happens when the legs go? You don't have one person on that roster with any kind of back-to-back game. And you don't need an all-star, but back when we had Demo, he could at least change the pace. The threes aren't hitting, put him in, shake things up. The other teams just get to rest while we stand around clanking threes. And until we address this, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
I think he is dead on with that.
Yep.
You knew the run and shoot Oilers who could keep winning games, but you had this feeling like there was a glass ceiling. I actually think that's a great comparison.
Yep.
Because I have the same feeling like we can't not talk about winning as many games as they typically win. You can't not talk about the great play that is MVP caliber almost annually by James Harden. And yet you could say stuff about Warren Moon statistics. I'm not trying to compare Warren Moon to James, but there are probably some comparisons if you want to look at great numbers that didn't translate in the playoffs. There just are. And I think that's a pretty good for people who can really lock in on that comparison. It's actually a pretty good comparison.
Mm-hmm.
Scary good comparison.
Unfortunately, this offense, while it is explosive, it still puts up 102
like this.
102.
And we went through the numbers. They didn't shoot the ball poorly. In fact, they're at almost 47%. The issue for them, the Rockets would certainly say, we didn't get to the line enough, only 14 opportunities, and they made all 14. I saw a couple people tweet about them being out of gas. Now, I know you've had this conversation. You can't believe anyone's tired considering all the time off. But they looked gassed at times in the fourth quarter. And, I mean, Mike Budenholzer has gotten a lot of crap for not playing Giannis and Middleton more minutes. Do Russ and James have to up their minute total? I mean, James played 38. Russ played 36. But LeBron and AD played 39, 38. At this point, considering who you are and when you're having when Eric Gordon's having that type of night, do these guys need to play more minutes in a game like this?
Well, then James is going to get
tired.
He's going to get tired. And then at the end, in an elimination game, he's just going to be so tired, he's going to put up a 1 for 18. And so then we're going to say, he just played too many minutes.
Well,
had to play him too many minutes.
That's true. I mean, it doesn't help that you're one of your best bench players missed time for personal reasons.
Yeah, whatever the personal reasons are. What personal reason do you have for selling your home? Melinda and Richard always dreamed of spending a retirement near the shores of Lake Conroe, so they wanted to sell their home. 16 showings, 7 offers. They sold their home for 7% over list price. That is a lot. Now, you don't want to go through all that. You don't want to show your house. You don't want people coming in, doing all of that stuff. You got an immediate cash offer from the Lance Loken Group. The Loken Group at Keller Williams Platinum will give you an immediate cash offer. All right. If he's not doing his job, he'll let you out of the contract free and clear also. So how about that? He, on average, it's about 30 days to sell your home. The average days on the market for the average agent is 56. It's almost twice as long to sell your home for the average agent. But he has got all of these. He's basically selling your home before you even put it on the market because he has got so many buyers. The Loken Group, number one team in the entire state of Texas, number two in the world. That's how big and how great they are. And they've got all the buyers. It's basically an auction for your home. The only agent you can call if you need to sell or buy your home, there's one guy, Lance Loken. The Loken Group, 281-861-4624, 281-861-4624, or thelokengroup.com. That's LOKEN, thelokengroup.com. Lance gives you choices, accelerated demand to get the most money, or a cash offer, whatever you choose. You can't lose at thelokengroup.com, 281-861-4624.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5, broadcasting safely with our masks from Boomer Naturals.
Order now at boomernaturals.com and use promo code ESPN Houston for 20% off.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Been a lot of discussion around Mike D'Antoni, Jarrett Greenberg, whose contract is up.
Yeah, it's been the story that's really hovered over the Rockets season, Mike D'Antoni's status, guys. He's coached this year as a lame duck. His contract expires after this season. The general manager of the Rockets, Daryl Morey, told Mark Medina of USA Today that the Rockets' number one offseason priority is to bring Mike D'Antoni back next year. Morey saying that Mike coming back is super important. Little twist, though, to this story. A source close to Mike D'Antoni tells me Mike's pleased that Daryl feels that way. However, it will be up to Mike to decide whether he will return or not, guys.
Yeah, that's good.
Sounds like a no.
Okay. Which decision do you want Mike D'Antoni to make?
I mean, if they lose in the series, I feel like it's just more of the same, and I'd rather hit. I just think you're in a kind of a. It's a nice, comfortable purgatory, a purgatory nonetheless. There's a glass ceiling; you can't get any further.
Yeah.
I don't think it's necessarily tied to Mike D'Antoni. I would not blame him for winning a bunch of games in regular season. That's not what I'm going to do. But the fact is, I just think the Rockets need a directional change of some sort. And it probably needs to be more of a shuffling of the deck than just very slight tweaks. I don't think the tweaks are going to matter. Now, here's the problem. With Russell Westbrook and Eric Gordon and James Harden's contracts, John, I'm not really sure you can do anything other than tweak. Unless you're willing to move 13.
I guess.
I don't think you have that ability.
Honestly. With the made up like this, as this team is, let's just say starting with Russ and James and your cap situation, your limitations with the cap. Is there any coach that can win here?
By win, you mean get to the NBA finals?
You got
$80 million
for just for those two guys.
So I do think that there is. We've seen the Rockets buy in defensively. We've seen James give much better effort defensively in the bubble. I think that's a credit to Mike D'Antoni and his staff because they are at the helm of helping to make this happen. I do think there is the potential that coaching could unlock an additional win in a playoff series, maybe even two. So I think it's possible that a coaching staff, that a different coach could manipulate the win total and the game totals.
Championship totals?
I think it's possible. Anytime you have a guy who scores 30-plus a game, I think it's possible. I just don't know. Do you think that a coach can get James to step up big in the when you need him most and take over series?
No. I don't think that these two stars are championship.
I'm not sure. That's what I'm saying. I think we could be beating our head against the wall talking about coach. I'm not sure that's what it is. I'm not sure. I think it matters. I'm not going to say it doesn't matter, but I don't know that one coach can get them to unlock their potential. Rudy Tomjanovic helped to get Hakeem Olajuwon to unlock his ultimate potential. That's just the truth. Now, Rudy did it through finesse. Rudy didn't do it through X's and O's. Rudy helped Olajuwon to buy into teammates. And some of that just came from Dream's own self-maturity. But the Rockets had a great player in Hakeem Olajuwon who didn't trust teammates and could only get so far. Then Dream started trusting teammates, and it turned into a team that could play inside-out basketball, hit threes. You have Vernon Maxwell, Kenny Smith, Mario Elie, obviously Robert Horry. All these guys are making big plays when you need them to. You know why? Because the best player trusted them, and then when the best player needed to go to work, he embarrassed people like David Robinson. But that's not what this team is. I don't think they have a coach that can unlock something special from Daniel House.
No.
Unlock that special something. Well, Robert Covington has played pretty well.
No.
We went from Rocco.
No. I don't think I'm sorry. When you look at this, like we mentioned, who's got the best two stars? Anthony Davis and LeBron James. Yeah. Kawhi and Paul George. Is that championship? Yeah. Jimmy Butler and Bam. Is Bam the second best player now? Yeah.
Better than Dragic? Yeah, I guess he is.
Dragic didn't even start until recently.
But Dragic is hitting about 20.
No, right. No, but when you look at the stars and the capability of winning,
The Rock, this is not
a... They have a big man, the Heat. What are y'all doing?
Bam is a big man.
I know. Why? You're not supposed to have
big... He's a multifaceted big man. He can
You're not supposed to have big men.
He can lead the break.
You can't... Well, you got rid of Hassan Whiteside. You can't win.
Oh. I think they've proven otherwise.
Okay.
How tall is Adebayo?
He's about 6'9".
Yeah, that's way too tall for a...
Yeah.
You got to get down to like 6'7".
I think you look at the top, there are 14... Well, even you go to the...
Use Terrence Jones.
Actually...
I'm out on him.
Actually, Jeff Green is 6'9".
Yeah, you have him. But see him and Bam, same guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, not too much.
If you look at the teams, whether it be the Lakers, the Clippers, and even go to the Toronto and Boston, their best players, for the most part, are two-way guys. Just look at them. The Heat have Bam and Jimmy, both two-way guys. Kawhi and Paul George. Anthony Davis is a defensive center who can, and obviously LeBron when he wants to. The Rockets are probably the only team in the currently, maybe Toronto too.
Blazers didn't have him. They're out.
What I'm talking about, who are still around.
Yeah.
Who's best players.
Giannis is a two-way.
Are two-way guys. And Denver. But Denver's questionable too. But as far as teams who we think are legit, two-way guys, best players.
Did you see what Lamont sent us? This is the Rockets.
I don't want to see the Rockets with a team... He's just, it's all little
Lamont,
people playing in a league.
That's not the basketball
this
the Rockets
is
are
not,
playing. That's
no one's dunking. That doesn't look like how they play.
They need,
and
you know what they need?
Isn't white.
They need a hoops, sporting goal and equipment.
No.
So they could lower
the. They don't need to lower the rim. They're
well,
just
in
fine.
This league.
The Rockets do.
Well, they would dominate in that league.
Yeah.
A lowered rim league.
Chuck is here. What up, Chuck?
What's up, fellas? Hey, one thing I think we're all missing on this series is that the last two games, especially in the third quarter yesterday, LeBron James went back to 25-year-old LeBron James on the defensive end. He single-handedly took 8 points off the board. I mean, when he's playing like that, there's no chance. Anthony Davis is going to put up his numbers because he is that good. But LeBron just went beast mode defensively. Just what here we're talking about.
All the block shots in the fourth. There's the big difference. There's the big differences. How many times have you said that one of the Rockets stars had a big impact on the game through his defense in the fourth quarter? It just gets back to the fact that two-way players can have an impact whether they're shooting well or not.
Right.
James can have an impact with his distribution, so that's good, but so can LeBron. And I am comparing the two. Actually, I do need to compare the two. You do have to compare the two.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
there's
James
the two stars.
James is an MVP
player
the whole time. And I just think that yesterday was really frustrating because you played really well in the first half, but I don't see the Rockets.
He doesn't have the LeBron gene.
He didn't have the LeBron gene. Not very few people
do.
You
guys seem to forget a series clinching block. All of a sudden, we're just going to forget about what he did to Lou Dort to win the series.
I forgot about that.
Hello.
The Dort block.
Thank you.
The Dort block hurt around the world.
He did. Okay, let's rank all of James' big defensive plays in his career.
I go first.
Okay, I'm going first. Lou Dort.
Oh, there's no number two.
Lou Dort.
I'm a second.
Go second. All right. You got second. You got two.
In one of the wins against the... Warriors, he had a good post-up defense against Draymond.
Andrew Bogut. What? He kept Bogut away from the rim.
When?
What is game three?
What? That's no.
But they never won.
Okay, let's go back to game three.
But they didn't win that series.
But it doesn't matter. They won that game, though.
Which game three are we talking about?
We don't know. We don't.
Did they win every game three against the Warriors?
And like, we don't know that. You're just trying. Now you're just trying to nitpick. All right. Okay. Now it's yours. Yeah, you're third.
I don't have one. That's the problem. I'm sure he's got a big steal. When he swipes when the guy goes by him.
He gets steals and it bangs off a guy's leg.
More than anybody in the league. Thank you.
Yeah, he gets steals.
How about leading the league in scoring and
Clyde
steals?
Clyde Drexler used to get steals. Clyde wasn't a good defender.
Well, says you.
Clyde was not a great defender.
Hey, you suck too.
Speaking of that, Texans tomorrow.
How about that? And you can bet on them.
Texans Eve.
You want to? This is Texans Eve, and you can bet on them right tomorrow. You want to bet on them? Let's go. All you got to do is go to mybookie.ag, promo code radio. Mybookie.ag, promo code radio has all the NFL games, all the NBA, all the Major League Baseball, all the tennis, all the golf, everything you could possibly want. If you want to bet on something, they've got, oh, you want to bet on the election? They can do that too, because they're doing that as well. All you got to do is go to mybookie.ag, promo code radio, and start and play. Now, you deposit $100, they're going to match that $100, so you've got $200 to play with. You want to deposit $1,000, they'll match that, and you've got $2,000 to play with. It's that simple. All you got to do is go to mybookie.ag, promo code radio, and get started. And you play, you win, they pay. That's the key. That's the best thing about a bookie. The best, well, a bookie that pays, that's what you want. Mybookie.ag, promo code radio.
ESPN 97.5.